Have you ever had one of those experiences that you just didn't want to end? Perhaps it was in an early stage of romance, one of those nights when you suddenly looked at the clock and realized that night had turned into morning and that you hadn't paid attention to anything but the conversation with that fabulous person in front of you. Perhaps it was the perfect game, when everything went just your way, when your team played together like a well-oiled machine, when it didn't seem that you could mess up even if you tried. Perhaps it was an afternoon spent rocking your newborn baby who couldn't be more perfect, or a day spent listening to your grandmother's reminiscences. Or perhaps it was a spiritual experience. Maybe a walk in the woods that made God undeniable amidst the glow of the sun and the crackling of the leaves beneath your feet. Maybe a silent retreat that seemed to reset your heart and your soul. Maybe a week at church camp as a teenager, a week where the cliques we are put in and the masks that we feel forced to wear disappear, where you were for a while experiencing what life should be like, a place where all are welcomed and valued. These are what we call mountaintop experiences. And in our scripture today, Peter, James, and John had their own mountaintop experience. And theirs was literally up a mountain. According to Luke, Jesus had been actively engaging in ministry. He wasn't only preaching and teaching, but he was healing and doing miracles. People were taking notice. In fact, it seems that the demands were getting so great that he couldn't do it all himself, so his disciples were called not only to follow him and do ministry alongside him, but he had sent them out on their own, giving them the power to do the very things he was doing. He had responded not only to the needs of individuals here and there, but to the masses, even feeding thousands at a time. And the disciples, those closest to him, seemed to be starting to understand. In fact, Peter, the one who most often speaks on behalf of the others, had named it. "You are the Messiah," he had said to Jesus. Of course, the excitement and the attention and the glory of being with him and sharing ministry was only part of it. There was also the reality, a reality that Jesus worked hard to make clear, telling the disciples that the way wouldn't be easy, that much would be demanded of him and of them, and that the way, at least for him, would go to the cross. All of this built up to the moment that we read in Scripture today. Jesus, one who was known to take time out of his busyness, to set aside time for prayer, went up the mountain to pray and took with him three of his closest friends. But this was no ordinary prayer time. And Peter, James, and John, who are known in other places to fall asleep, they were worn out, but somehow this time they stayed awake, and what they saw surprised them. Luke writes, "While Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking with him." Now, we who hear this story 2,000 years later, we often take it for granted. The Transfiguration, sure, we know that story. For those who are part of more highly liturgical churches, this day is commonly known as Transfiguration Sunday. After all, Luke says that while Jesus and Moses and Elijah were talking, they were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. So this last day before the season of Lent begins is known as Transfiguration Sunday, a Sunday that transitions us into thinking about the last things of Jesus' life, a Sunday that sets in motion the movement toward the cross, a Sunday that sends us into what feels like darkness of Lent with the light of Jesus sending us forth. But for Peter, James, and John, it was so much more than that. This was not only literally a mountaintop experience, but it was perhaps the most intensely spiritual experience they had ever had. It was a place they wanted to stay. And while some of that may have been about fearing what comes next, remember what we said earlier, Jesus wasn't shy about letting them know how hard this work was and where the road led. But some of this was also simply about experiencing something they had never experienced before and wanting to stay in it. So Peter, good old Peter, spoke up. "Let me build some tents," he said. He was ready to do the work and to build a dwelling for Jesus and one for Moses and one for Elijah. He was ready to do whatever it would take to be able to keep them there, to keep this feeling, to keep experiencing this intense sense of God with them. And perhaps he was also ready to put off facing what they would find when they went down the mountain. And we know that feeling, don't we? After all, at one time or another, aren't we all Peter? For me, it was my camp experiences. I was one of those teenagers who loved that time. It's a combination of those intense relationships that teenagers build when they're together 24/7, combined with an honest exploration of who we are and who God is. There was something mystical about my experiences at that campground in Newton that many of us have come to love. There was something magical about the relationships that were built there. And there was something humbling as that became the place I answered my call to ministry. I still remember the feeling as the week neared its end. It was about not wanting to leave friends. That's always a part of it for teenagers, right? But it was about so much more. It was that feeling that when we left those grounds, it just wouldn't be the same. It was the feeling that there was something happening there that we didn't know how to carry with us when we returned to the real world. And I suspect that's much like what Peter and the others felt. Even in their exhaustion, they were alert enough to notice something unusual was going on and to know how fortunate they were to experience it. They were also smart enough to know this wasn't a regular thing and that it may be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. We know, as they did, what it is like to want to live on the mountaintop, to want to pitch our tents and to stay right there, to want to camp out forever, or at least for a little while longer. But it seems that Jesus' answer to Peter's invitation was simply no camping. You can't live here. You can't stay here. And maybe, just maybe, you carry this with you more than you even realize. For Jesus, this was inevitably an amazing experience as well. But he knew that while resting in the presence of God, while being in conversation with heroes in the faith would bring him some renewal, it wasn't where he was called to live. Instead, Jesus knew that real life and real ministry happened down, off the mountain, in the towns and countrysides, in the joys and the struggles of both friends and strangers. He knew that there was a world in need of all the wholeness that God offered. A world in need of love and compassion, where people needed to be told again and again that they were God's beloved. And so Jesus went down the mountain. And if we were to read on in the Gospel of Luke, we would see that the first interaction he had reminded him that in the midst of the messy realities of life is exactly where he needed to be. Luke tells us that he went down the mountain and a crowd gathered and a man called out to Jesus asking him to heal his child. And Jesus got back to work. Friends, the mountaintop moments are amazing. And they are good for us. They fill us up. They fill our souls. They remind us who we are and whose we are. But the mountain is not where we live. Rather, we are called again and again to go out into the streets and lanes, to go through the cities and countryside, and to pay attention to the needs of the people around us. We are called to live in this real, remarkable, disappointing, amazing, frustrating, joy-filled world. And we are called to carry the presence of God with us, that we might bring a little bit of that mysterious reality of what happens when we glimpse God's kingdom, that we might share it with others. There are people you will encounter today who are grieving. Those who have said goodbye to a treasured loved one and don't know what that will be like. Those who have said goodbye too soon and been unable to reconcile. They need our comfort. There are people you will encounter today who aren't sure that they will live till tomorrow. People for whom the burden of living just seems like too much. People for whom death would be a welcome journey. They need to know their value. There are people you will encounter today who are tired of defending their worth. LGBTQ friends who are tired of explaining why their sexual identity or the gender of their partner doesn't make them less than or unloved. They need our love. There are people you will encounter today who are burdened by the weight of poverty, of mental illness, of homelessness, of racism, people who are othered in so many ways, who are lumped into groups and simply called them, whose identity is controlled by a demographic description. They need to know that we see them, that they are more than a group we dismiss or a cause we help in order to feel better about ourselves. Friends, this is where we're called. We are called to come down from the mountain. Yes, we can carry that experience with us, but we simply can't stay there. We are called to come down from the mountain and to go out into the world, to engage in love and compassion, to share it with each and every one of God's precious children. May it be so.